Hey, you have tuned into the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow, where we are so excited to talk about those different topics that can particularly be a little bit more challenging to speak to or speak on. We help you to get to that point, but listen, we want to know what you want to hear. So we are here for you. If you have any topics, any suggestions, anything you just really have on your heart and you want some information about, tag us. Go ahead and hit us a message in our vspotradio@gmail.com, or you can hit us on Instagram. You can also hit us up on Facebook at the Vspot Radio. So please, by all means, we are here. We want to hear from you. This has been the Vspot, your vulnerable space to grow.
Can I say it?
Just say it and see what happens.
What do I say?
Hey. It's Tuesday. You're listening to the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel. And this real sweet voice comes and says, and I'm Camille Veronica.
Well, you did that so great. I think we're going to switch it. I like how you did that intro. Yes, you are listening to the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. And it is Tuesday. Well, welcome to Tuesday. A little technical difficulty. That's what we kept cackling about, because we had a little technical difficulty getting on this morning. But we're here.
Yes.
And we're excited to be here. How you doing?
I am exceedingly well. Let me just tell you this. And this is for all my listeners as well as yours. my 3 and your 300. Let me just say this. Y'all, if you don't get up early in the morning, you are missing all kinds of natural blessings. I am telling you this. Put yourself to bed, okay? And get up early. Somebody say early.
Early
in the morning.
In the morning.
Because God is providing all kinds of visual yummies for you and yours. This here morning, I woke up early, like I always do, praise God. And I was fenced to walk up the stairs. And I always look out the window when I'm about to walk up the stairs. And lo and behold, one of them planets was showing its slips. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So the planets have been out there, you know, but you have to look, you know, and there are times of the year that they are, you know, available to the naked eye. And
yeah, right. You don't need to knock it.
This year morning, I would venture to say it probably was Venus, just guessing, because it was a red sliver in the sky. Oh my goodness, so magnificent. And let me be clear, I didn't have on my glasses and I still could see this thing. And I'm like, look at God.
Yep. It also has to do with the way we are tilted currently in the earth on the axle. So giving us this access to see things that are not necessarily on a regular, right? But we get them and enjoy them in the moment. But you can agree, you can only get that if you get up and you and for you just happen to look up. Yeah, with the intent. And now you'll probably be more intentful in it looking up than the next morning you get up.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do make it a habit that when I'm about to go upstairs, I make sure I check out the window to see what's going on, because God provides such beautiful palettes.
He does.
For the morning sunrise and even for the evening as well. So I am just super duper grateful, because you know what? I get to see that kind of stuff. And even with the big bright light that's on the church that's next to our family property, even though that
no pun intended, church, with the bright light that you're beaming into my window,
let it shine. But I was having a moment where I was like, blankety blank, light is messing up my view. However, I am grateful for that light, because if it weren't on, it would be very, very dark between their property and my family's property. So. And we already have seen people walk through before. So with them big bright lights on, it helps. But it does not help when I'm trying to view my nighttime, early morning sky. It's a trade-off. It's a trade-off. Well,
listen, what we talking about today actually lends itself to this very, to the beginning of this very, so check it. I checked out, and I actually sent it over to you to check out this film on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. Mm-hmm. And it was recommended to me via social media to look at. And I had a Netflix account just about a month ago. Something happened, don't know, but I still end up being able to watch it on Netflix account. So
You had an account, something happened, and you still able to watch it on Netflix, but we're not gonna talk about that. Thank you.
It's Tuesday, right? We trying to keep all our family and friends, by the way, this is our Tuesday segment. So we really try to keep it as close to the PG cuff as possible, but friendly enough to still maintain a sense of vulnerability. And this is vulnerable because I think this film, you know, we don't really do a lot of film reviews or anything. Mm-mm. Like, I don't think we, I can count on my hand how many times we really talked about anything that was of magnitude like that. But this really was dynamic. One, because it holds so much truth to it. I am a very, very, is it fictional or non-fictional?
I never get them right. I'm going to just be tell. I'm going to tell the truth.
Darn it!
I never get it right. I think fictional, wait, non-fictional is, I don't know.
Is the truth?
Is the truth, yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Because it's a fiction if it's futuristic or phallic. I think that's how I go with it. But anyway, yeah, the one that's true. So there's so much truth to it. And I engage on movies probably more than I should about movies that are truth. I mean, Set It Off was true to me. For some people, that was a movie, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, Set It Off, New Jack City, Boys in the Hood, those were all real. Those were all straight real movies for me, you know? And this was really real. It highlights, which is why we're only going to be on here for a few minutes, it highlights the impact of social media, but it does it from the actual fingers and hands and voice of the very people who had a strong instrumental development in the social media realm that we live in today. I'm talking about the Facebook, the Twitter, the Pinterest, the Instagram. I'm talking about former president of Facebook. I mean, I'm talking about billionaire people who have now realized that the machine that they have created might be damaging or more out of control than they thought. Mm-hmm. And what it has done to society and how social media is really geared and navigated to cultivate a new mindset. Mm-hmm. And it really, really said, and it had this very great shot in. You know, I'm telling the film, you still go watch it because really I'm doing it no justice. But it has this shot in of an example of a family that literally struggles with social media. You know, you have these dynamics in this family as it relates to the impact of social media. And you'll notice that those that are older, seasoned, have less of an attachment in this film to the social media world. But the kids are so glued to it that it literally is causing trauma in their life. And it's causing them to act completely different than I guess the standards. And a lot of scientific data, which is what I love too. It goes into the height of, you know, kids that were born at the brink of the 2011, how they are completely immersed in social media and how their life is built around social media and how their way of thinking. You know, we get kind of wrapped up sometimes, and I'm sure we've talked about this, and I'm sure it's happened to you, where we've talked about some things and all of a sudden we sit at the computer and bam, it pops up. Mm-hmm. Like it literally pops up on your computer and you're like, whoa, you know, they listening to our conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, I don't have Siri activated on nothing, but every time I'm at somebody's house and Siri or or Tracy or Nita or Baker or any of them that are not, that are connected to these,
I'm praying for you.
You know, to any of them, you know, that are connected to these things, I know that they're capturing our conversation. I know that they're capturing our voice. Our phones are always recording. I mean, they are literally tethering these things together and bringing us to this new future, a wave of helping people. So I ask our family, our listeners, how much time are we really spending engaging in social media? How much time are you spending on social media? And is it healthy time?
You're asking me how much time I personally spend on social media?
Yeah. And is it healthy? I mean, you may have a better idea because many of our phones give you screen hours. Yeah.
Right. And I actually pay attention to my screen hours.
Mm-hmm.
For example, last week, the time I spent on the screen was up.
Mm-hmm.
I would say significantly, even though it felt like I wasn't even on my phone, but I would say, according to those statistics, it felt like it was significant to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I think honestly, we have to use those markers to gauge ourselves, because it's kind of like anything else in our lives where we have, what we think we do and versus what is scientifically true is,
yeah.
So you think you drink enough water until you start tracking your water and you realize, I really don't drink enough water. Mm-hmm. Or you think you're exercising enough till you start tracking steps or active moments and you realize, I'm really not doing what I think I'm doing. And so I am a firm believer in looking at those statistics and figuring that phone ain't really lying to me in that sense. You know, so I like to believe that although I am looking at those statistics, that the majority of the time, what I'm doing on the screen itself is useful. However, I would be lying to our listeners if I didn't say I have no foolishness time on my phone whatsoever. Because I know me, you know, and I know I can get wrapped up in some foolishness. And my foolishness, you know, to someone else might not even look like it, but I'm saying like it's there. So I think I think we all have to use the tools to our advantage and not be used by the tools.
Let me get that, because mm-hmm. that was one of the comments that was made in the film. If you are not the consumer, you are the product.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not the consumer, you are the product. And that was what they were highlighting, that the time that we spend on these devices, they literally capture that data. And that data is what is then sold as an item to buyers, mm-hmm. you know, of items and things and way of thinking. So we are literally individuals that are being researched and caught up in these things, and we're not benefiting from it. It's like you playing the sport, but you winning the trophy, or you're being motivated. I mean, you're being satisfied by the idea of staying connected to family, right? Mm-hmm. Or being able to post your thoughts, you know, being able to share with people all the way in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are your satisfying marks that they say. But for the other person, their satisfying mark is the $1 billion, $1.8 billion that, you know, someone like Amazon has been able, no, one point, try 200 at some point, that Amazon has been able to capture as a result of the use of data that he gets or they get from our social media use. Yeah.
I think okay. There's this sentiment among certain age groups of people that, like, you know, all of this stuff is evil and it's horrible and all these things like that. As a matter of fact, I remember somebody commenting on my fitness tracker and said, well, you know, that's the same technology they use for that is what they use for folks who are released from prison and have to wear the home tracker. You know, I forgot the name of the thing that when you have done a crime and you're on house arrest and you can't go but so far. So they're saying it's the same technology. Well, they were telling me this as in I should be offended that the same technology they use to track prisoners or criminals is the same thing that they're using to track my fitness. And in my head, I was like, well, it's serving more than one purpose. Good. You know, but there's this thing that, okay, Big Brother is watching and all this stuff like that. There's a part of me that wants to believe that while that is all true, and we've been knowing that, because before we had social media, we had wiretapping. Mm-hmm. So all of these things have been in place. I still want to believe that it is for us to determine how we use what we get, what we put out, as well as what we have or what we receive. You know, if it is the thing that people are tracking our behavior in order to figure out what to put in front of our faces first, fine. Now make a decision on whether or not what's put in your face is something of value to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like somewhere in the long lines, you've got to make
the better exchange.
Right, right. Yeah. You have to determine that. This, we understand that all these things are out there, so we don't have to get stuck on the conspiracy theory. We just have to decide on how we use the theory or how we create a new paradigm for ourselves to say that despite that these things go on, here's how I use this information, or here's how I, you know, shape this situation for the benefit of my community or for the benefit of my family. You know, I always say, like, if you've got a $500 phone and it earns you no money, then why do you have $500?
Why do you need, right? Like a pocketbook. Right. Exactly. The pocketbook's always got me. I think this is a honest conversation that needs to be had in all households, because things are changing. Technology is, you know, they highlight fake news. I mean, this movie really goes in on some very good reasons why we need to be vigilant around the use of social media, just in technology in general. Mm. And like, you're right, we need to make sure that if I'm staying 5 hours on the internet, I'm making 5 hours of meaningful connection with my own development, my own business. I'm reading to advance my wisdom. You know, it has to be purposed in your own space, and not just something for entertainment. So I encourage our families. I loved in the movie where there was a portion where they actually, the mom tried to literally take the phones, put them in this timer box that nobody had the phone at the table. You know, people take their phone to the table, and they had lost focus on how to have a conversation at the dinner table. Like, there was no conversation at the dinner table. And it became so bad that literally one of the kids could not manage. And so it goes other way. I won't tell that part of the film, but it is the point where we are seeing a need for treatment for social media anxiety. We are seeing a need for that. If you are someone that is in that psychosis or neuron specialist, you know, you understand the importance of gauging that. And so we need to move on into that. Family, this has been a really great start. Trust me, you do want to address it with your teens, your tweens, your husband, your wife. It could be getting in the way of a lot of things, or it could be benefiting you in a lot of better ways. So you manage it and you decide. This has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And we're so excited you decided to stop in and check us out this Tuesday. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow, with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at The V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.